The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
If you'd like to be seated. I'd like to say good morning and a very warm welcome to everyone to our service today. And I know it probably feels quite different as we come to church today with many of the restrictions which have been lifted. But we're so glad to have you here with us, either here in the building or watching at home. And we'll be continuing to stream our morning service to those who are at home for various reasons. I wanted to just start by saying a very big word of thanks to everyone who helped yesterday at the work party. They helped to do all sorts of jobs around the place, including the return of our kneelers and other things within the church. So as well as tidying all around the grounds, and it really looks the better for everybody's attention. So thank you so much to everybody for their help yesterday. Today in our service, particularly in the light of the dark times that we're living through, we're going to be thinking in our service about moving from fear to faith. That's our theme for our service today. But there are some notices for the week to come. You'll have seen them as you came in on the screen. I'm just going to highlight things which don't normally happen. And in particular, I wanted to highlight Wednesday morning, which is Ash Wednesday. It marks the beginning of the season of Lent. And we're going to be returning to our service of Holy Communion on Wednesday mornings at 10:30 with prayers for the sick. And there will be the opportunity to bring people's names before the Lord in prayer on Wednesday mornings. And it will also incorporate some elements of the service for Ash Wednesday. That's at 10:30 this Wednesday morning. On Thursday evening, we're looking forward to the Mothers Union enrollment service at 7:30. And new members will be enrolled. Our new officers will be commissioned. And we look forward to welcoming members of the Mothers Union on Thursday evening at 7:30. And on Friday evening at 8:00, St. Anthony's Parish on the Woodstock Road are hosting our local area Women's World Day of Prayer. And this year the service has been prepared by the Christian Women of England, Wales and Northern Ireland. So it'll have a very local feel to it. And all ladies of the parish are welcome. It's at 8:00 on Friday evening in St. Anthony's. Our service is next Sunday, morning prayer at 11:00, evening prayer at 7:00. So as we welcome everybody back to these new situation with restrictions lifted, we are encouraging people to continue to wear masks while we sing. But when we're not singing, or as you're listening to different parts of the service, if you feel more comfortable, you are welcome to take your mask off. But we do encourage people to keep them on during the singing of our hymns. And our opening hymn today is the hymn, Lord of All Hopefulness, Lord of All Joy.
Thank you. Good morning, and you're very welcome to this service of morning prayer. Beloved in Christ, we come together to offer to Almighty God our worship, praise, and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past and grant that we may serve you in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let's stand together and read the words of Psalm 99. The Lord is King. The Lord is King. Let the peoples tremble. He is enthroned above the cherubim. Let the earth shake. The Lord is great in Zion and high above all peoples. Let them praise your name, which is great and awesome. The Lord our God is holy. Mighty King, who loves justice, you have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt the Lord our God. Bow down before his footstool. Moses and Aaron among his priests, and Samuel among those who call upon his name. They called upon the Lord, and he answered them. He spoke to them out of the pillar of cloud. They kept his testimonies and the law that he gave them. You answered them, O Lord, our God. You were a God who forgave them and pardoned them for their offenses. Exalt the Lord, our God, and worship him upon his holy hill, for the Lord, our God, is holy. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever.
Amen. Please take your seats.
Our Old Testament reading is from the book of Exodus, chapter 34, beginning at the 29th verse. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them. So Aaron and all the leaders of the community came back to him and he spoke to them. Afterwards, all the Israelites came near him, and he gave them all the commands the Lord had given him on Mount Sinai. When Moses finished speaking to them, he put a veil over his face. But whenever he entered the Lord's presence to speak with him, he removed the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, they saw that his face was radiant. Then Moses would put the veil back over his face until he went in to speak with the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
During our next hymn, children and young people can go to their Sunday school. And let's stand together and sing, In My Life, Lord. Please take your seats.
The New Testament reading is from the Gospel according to St. Luke in the 9th chapter, beginning at the 28th verse. About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up onto a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He did not know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, This is my son whom I have chosen. Listen to him. When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and told no one at that time what they had seen. This is the word of the Lord.
We're going to watch a video now about a very exciting thing called the Bishop's Big Bike Ride. And the video will tell you about it, but I will say that the Belfast leg of the bike ride will be on Friday, and at lunchtime, the entourage will be here, and the Mothers Union are very kindly going to provide them lunch. And our very own rector, Jonathan, is going to be taking part in the Friday leg. So he will be obviously arriving first at lunchtime, the yellow jersey ahead of everyone. So let's watch and find out about the Bishop's Big Bike Ride.
after 35 years of not being on a bicycle, I'm looking forward to getting on my bike during the month of March and riding into each parish in the Diocese of Down and Dromore. This is part of our special Lenten project with the Bishop's Appeal, when we will be raising the profile of two projects, one in conjunction with Christian Aid in Honduras and one in conjunction with Tear Fund in the Jordan.
Here at Tear Fund, we're delighted that the Bishop's Big Bike Ride is supporting our first ever church and community mobilisation project in Jordan in partnership with the Diocese of Jerusalem. The church in the Middle East has a wonderfully rich Christian heritage. It is now ministering in the midst of some very challenging contexts, ministering in urban environments, working with a growing refugee population, and working to peace build in amongst divided communities. At Tear Fund, we believe the church is God's chosen vessel for transformation and kingdom change. So this project will equip, excite, and envision local congregations just like yours to be that change amongst the poorest in their area. Your support will enable us to train local facilitators in church and community mobilisation. It will facilitate the translation of resources for local congregations and will allow us to provide a Bible study called Awakening the Church. We're so grateful to Down and Dromore for recognising the significance of this project and for their generous support as we seek to empower local people and local churches to transform their communities in a sustainable and holistic way. Christian Aid is really pleased to be involved in the Bishop's Bike Ride for the Down and Dromore Lent Appeal. We're working particularly in an area of Honduras called the Dry Corridor. And in that part of Honduras, many people are particularly vulnerable to the impacts of climate change. It's an area where they have recurrent droughts. And sometimes after those droughts, we get very heavy rainfall, and that can lead to flooding and landslides. So some of the money that's being raised through this appeal will be going to support the work in that region. We're working with 80 families there, and we're particularly helping them to train in the best agricultural techniques. We're also giving them seeds and tools and fruit trees for planting. We're providing materials so that they can harvest rainwater for irrigation. And we're also supporting people to produce their own organic fertilizer. As well as that, we're giving people small livestock like hens. And all of those things mean that people can have a reliable source of food even when droughts or the floods come. So thank you so much for supporting this. You're helping families to adapt to the effects of climate change and also showing in a really practical way what it means to love our neighbor as ourselves.
So, Colin, are you ready to get on your bike?
Now, Lydia, Lydia, you don't know any clergy who cycle all over the place in the winter, do you? But I'm as ready as I'll ever be.
That's good. How many miles is it again?
We haven't worked it out exactly, and we're doing a fair bit of zigzagging, but I reckon it must be around about 350, something like that.
So, a gentle spin.
A wee stretch of the legs.
Well, I suppose it has to be a challenge. Because this is not just a fundraiser, this is an act of solidarity with people in Honduras and Jordan as they have their own challenges in bringing change in their communities.
Yes, indeed, and they're doing all that in their own circumstances with really few resources.
Absolutely, and these projects are at the heart of what the Church of Ireland Bishop's Appeal supports. Yes, we support disaster relief response, but we also strive as a church to live out Christ's calling, to come alongside people, not just to enable them to survive, but to support them in their journey and to walk alongside them, going that extra mile so that they can also thrive.
Yes, indeed, it's great to be walking alongside people in this sort of way, or in this case, cycling.
And we and all of the team are cheering you on, the cyclists and the projects, and we're wishing you every blessing and every success. So now, Colin, on your bike.
Thanks, Lydia.
So do watch out for more details in your parishes and online and on social media and on our diocesan website, and please do give very generously, and organise your parish to give very generously. Colin, 350 miles, is that right?
350 miles. Bishop, it's good to air the legs after a long winter. Sure, this is just a wee stretch of the legs. Let's get going. Come on.
Okay, thanks, Colin.
That's brilliant. And that was Bishop David there being told it was 350 miles after he'd agreed to it. But it's an amazing thing. It's a brave thing. And as they said, we do it because we want to stand alongside believers in other parts of the world. And we can do that now in the words of the Apostles' Creed. The Apostles' Creed is spoken world over. So let's stand and say these words together. I believe in God. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. A special prayer for today, the Sunday before Lent. Almighty Father, whose Son was revealed in majesty before he suffered death upon the cross, give us grace to perceive his glory, that we may be strengthened to suffer with him and be changed into his likeness from glory to glory, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and ever-living God, we give you thanks for bringing us safely to this day. Keep us from falling into sin or running into danger. And in all things, guide us to know and do your will. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, in whom we live and move and have our being, we humbly pray that your Holy Spirit may so guide and govern us that in all the cares and occupations of our daily life, we may never forget your presence, but may remember that we are always walking in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And let us continue worshiping together as we sing, Your Kingdom Come.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I wanted to say a few words about fear this morning in the wake of the events of the past few days. And most of us who are here in church or those who are watching at home will be no strangers to fear after the events of the past couple of years and trying to navigate our way through this global pandemic. Few of us will forget the speed with which events overtook the world in March 2020. And within weeks, all those routines and systems with which we were familiar were locked down. Schools, shops, workplaces, international travel, sport and leisure events, even church services and buildings, nothing was left untouched as we heeded government and scientific advice, and we all bunkered down and we tried to stay safe from this virus that was rampaging across the world. And just this week, as I was writing my weekly blog about the lifting of the restrictions for churches following the announcement from our Minister for Health just 10 days ago, I thought back to those days that we've all lived through. And yet, as I was writing my blog this week, a new kind of fear was taking hold of me. How could we do all in our power to keep people safe who might feel nervous about coming back to church? No requirement to track and trace anymore, no requirement to socially distance, unrestricted numbers for weddings and funerals in accordance with the size of your building. And while face coverings are strongly advised and recommended, particularly for the singing of hymns, they can be removed while listening to parts of the service, like the sermon or the prayers. And isn't it strange the way we very quickly get used to new realities? I find it really strange in this new reality, which was the old normal, to be amongst crowds again. Or if I go into a shop or a supermarket where people are not wearing masks, I immediately feel unsafe or vulnerable. During this past week, I attended a clergy seminar, and it was probably the first time that I had been in a room with many of my colleagues for over 2 years. And we had lunch, we had conversations together, and while it felt great, to be honest, it also felt really quite scary, if I'm being honest. And maybe that is how many people are feeling. Even as you come to church today and you see that many of those restrictions that we've lived with have been lifted, and those implementations of that are happening even at this service today. And there is still that zone at the side of our churches for those who are more medically vulnerable or who feel safer sitting at a social distance in the side aisles. But from today onwards, you don't have to be accompanied to your seat. You don't have to wait for someone to escort you out. You can just go. We feel fear whenever a pandemic suddenly visits our world. And we feel fear and anxiety, ironically, when we're told it's now at a point where we can live with it, now that we've been vaccinated and the restrictions are lifted. But of course, neither of those things can even begin to compare to the reality of what's happened in Ukraine in the past few days, as Russia has invaded and the world waits to see what will happen next. and the rhetoric and the speculation are full of what might happen if a certain course of action is taken. And we all feel helpless. We feel overwhelmed. We feel unsure of what best to do. We feel fearful of what all these events might mean for ourselves, for the cost of living, for the supplies of essential things. We fear what it might mean for our children and our grandchildren. And I've heard and seen, just as you have in the past couple of days, those shocking news reports of people just like you and me running for metro stations with their families in Kyiv because the warning sirens have sounded about imminent airstrikes. We've seen those images of people just like you and me queuing for petrol, queuing for cash at bank machines, as people are trying to flee from danger, not sure where it's coming from or even where to go to find safety. And so my simple question this morning is, how do we move from fear to faith? How do we move from fear to faith? And I think both of our Bible readings this morning hold a crucial key to answering that question. But maybe before I go there, it is important, I think, in these fearful times, that we would first of all hold on to some of the great truths and promises of the Bible. And the first one that comes to my mind this morning is that God is our refuge and our protector. God is our refuge and protector. Psalm 62 puts it beautifully. And remember that these words were written in times of adversity and attack, when enemies surrounded, and when life was hugely difficult for the psalmist. In the midst of that circumstance, he wrote these words: "My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I shall never be shaken." They're words worth saying again. My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. He alone is my rock and salvation. He is my fortress. I shall never be shaken. God is our protector. He promises to surround those who love Him. He promises to shield us in His love and with His presence, no matter how bad things are all around us. Jesus Himself tells us in Matthew chapter 28 that He will be with us even to the very end of the age. That promise of His presence, it was first given to Joshua and to Israel as they entered the promised land. But it is His presence, the transforming power of the presence of God, that's the thing that changes everything for both Moses in our Old Testament reading and for Jesus in our New Testament reading this morning. Both Moses and Jesus had these incredible personal, life-changing encounters with God on mountains. And mountains were places in the Bible that very often God revealed Himself to people. But Moses and Jesus had these incredible encounters with God, and these encounters transformed them. Both Moses and Jesus left these exchanges with God that we've heard about this morning with something radiating from them. Their presence was somehow different as a result of the time that they had spent with God. Their faces shone, their clothes radiated. But all of this starts with both of them intentionally spending time in the presence of God. On Wednesday, we're about to begin the season of Lent. And that's a season in the life of the church which encourages us to come back in a focused or an intentional way into the Lord's presence. And there will be lots of opportunities to do that over the course of Lent here in church. All those services will be available to people online. But also during the season of Lent, the bishop himself has prepared a series of 5-minute devotional videos every day, beginning on Ash Wednesday. They'll be available from 6 o'clock in the morning. You can pick them up on the church website and Facebook page. But he's inviting us to reflect together in a devotional way on the book of Luke. And we learn a lot about discipleship, what it means to follow Jesus. And unless we're intentional about spending that time with God, we very often do not encounter his presence. And that's exactly where it is at for us today, I believe. It's about spending time with God, whether that time is long or short, worshiping him, reading and meditating on his word, praying to him, communicating with him, being still before him. Christianity is an incarnational religion. That's a big fancy word, but what it really means is that you and I are called to carry Jesus' presence in our bodies. And what that means, if I understand what the Bible says, is that wherever we go in this life, he goes too, through his Spirit dwelling in us. I remember one time hearing a speaker describing how it felt to meet one of my favorite spiritual writers, a Dutch priest called Henry Nouwen. And they had a beer together at an airport before boarding a flight. And he said, it was exactly like what I imagine having a beer with Jesus would be like. He said he never felt more listened to or loved in the presence of another person. So as we spend time with Jesus, just as Moses did, just as Jesus himself did with his heavenly Father, as we spend time with the Lord, his presence fills us. And therefore, the more time we spend with him, the more of him we have to bring into every encounter. I had a message on Thursday evening just before our online prayer meeting asking for prayers for a couple originally from Northern Ireland who pastor a church in Ukraine. They were afraid, but they were determined to stay. And they had bought generators and supplies, and they were going to open the doors of their small building to shelter and to serve those who were vulnerable in their community. You see, they wanted people to know that the church wasn't going anywhere. Even if their buildings were destroyed, they wanted to offer prayer and practical help to all who needed it as best they could. And in some small way, it reminded me back at the beginning of lockdown when we used to ring the church bells here every Thursday evening for 5 minutes as people applauded the NHS. And at that time, I remember lots of people in the neighborhood contacting me to say how much they valued hearing the bells and knowing that at that time prayers were being said in this building for what was going on in the world around us. The antidote to fear is the presence of the Lord. You and I are called to bring that presence with us wherever we go. Perfect love drives out fear, we're told in the first letter of John. And as we spend more time intentionally in his presence, we will then have more of him to bring to a broken and hurting world in these troubled times. So let's turn now to spend some time in his presence, praying specifically for the situation in the Ukraine. And we're going to do that using some prayers prepared by an organization called 24/7 Prayer. And as you look at the screen, you'll find the response to our prayers. But let's just be still for a moment. Today, Father God, King of all nations, we cry out to you for the people of Ukraine. And we ask you to rescue those who are vulnerable from the hands of their enemies, that they may live without fear before you all their days. Lord, have mercy. Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, grant us peace. Lord of lords and Prince of Peace, our politicians are predicting the biggest war in Europe since 1945. And we simply cry out to you urgently to write another story in our time. Thwart the dark machinations of evil men. Give wisdom beyond human wisdom to peacemakers seeking an equitable and less violent way. May politicians exercise the wisdom from above, which is peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, and full of mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, grant us peace. Holy Spirit, we pray today for the church in Ukraine, a nation in which 70% of the population call themselves Christian. Give to our many brothers and sisters in that nation courage in this crisis, that they may proclaim the good news of your kingdom, bind up broken hearts, and bring comfort to all who mourn. Lord, have mercy. Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, grant us peace. You, Lord, make wars cease to the ends of the earth. You break bows, shatter spears, and burn shields with fire. And so we ask you now to save the lives of many people in Ukraine. Make a peace that is strong and not weak. De-escalate this crisis. We hear of wars and rumors of wars, but you, Lord, are our rock, our fortress, and our deliverer. Our hope is in you. And so we address the nations now, and in the name of Jesus, we say, be still and know God. He is exalted among the nations. He shall be exalted in the earth. Lord, have mercy. Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, grant us peace. And now, finally, let's just take a moment to pray for those particularly in our hearts as we come to church today. We pray for Kyle Gallagher and his family in Ukraine. We pray for those recently bereaved, as we remember especially the family and friends of Desi McIntyre. But we also pray for those known to us who are sick or in trouble of any kind. And in the quietness of our hearts, we bring them, Lord, into your glorious and healing presence. Lord, in your mercy, merciful Father, accept these our prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Our next hymn is a continuation of those prayers, praying that God's love and presence will shine here and beyond. Let's stand and sing together, Shine, Jesus, Shine.
Thank you.
we bring our service to a close with a blessing prayer. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Amen. Our closing hymn is, O God, our help in ages past.